my beautiful radio friends, and welcome to another very special episode of Loveline. I'm your host, DJ Shriveled Raisin, and this is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 11:12 p.m., and you're listening to Carnegie Mellon's first and best radio station, WRCT. With me in the studio tonight are my special fabulous co-hosts and a couple of special guests, and I'll go around the room and let you introduce yourselves.
This is Chris, the 12-hour wonder.
This is Sparkle Kitten.
Hi, this is Tristan, the postmaster.
Fabulicious DJ Extra Crispy. And we also have a very special guest tonight. Bono, did you want to say something?
Just deny that I'm Bono, basically.
You're not Bono?
I wish I was.
All right, well, in order to avoid the crowds at WRCC Studios, I guess Bono is going incognito tonight, but
I might sing later on.
I loved you at the concert recently at the Civic Arena.
Civic Arena?
Where?
You mean Three Rivers?
You mean Three Rivers? Yes. You weren't paying attention.
Excuse me. I'm just so overwhelmed by your celebrity that
I'm actually going to leave the room now. Bye.
By your bononess.
All right. But in any case, tonight's very special Loveline is devoted to something very different. Rather than talking about obscure kind of kinky sexual practices, we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum and talk about traditional romance. Tristan is at the moment in a very deep, very important romance, and he's going to tell us all about that tonight. The first question I have, Tristan, is I understand that you consider your partner to own your penis.
Well, it's kind of like this. She is nervous about the idea, or uncomfortable with the idea of other women seeing me naked. And I interpret this to be her way of deciding that she has part of me. I don't know whether I would say she owns it, but...
But there's some kind of control aspect to it. She's the access control monitor for your genital organs.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it like that.
She will not let any other... Person? Man? Woman?
I think it's really just women. I mean, Really just women. I used to live in a shared house with a communal shower, and so I showered with other guys all the time, and no one...
Wait, hold on. You showered with your roommates in your house?
I mean, all right, I lived in a fraternity which had a communal shower. There weren't actually any shower stalls, so it was a big locker room style shower where there were just these heads on the wall.
Wow.
It's a fantasy of all of us.
Wow.
I didn't think the fraternities had those.
You go in and you take your shower and you notice that everyone is staring at the ceiling, and even when they're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. But what if it was another man who was actually watching you? How would your girlfriend feel?
Well, that's a good question. She's had a few exes come out of the closet since she's broken up with them. So I guess it's a good...
This happened to me.
Well, yeah, but you're some kind of sexual...
Miscreant, I think was the last word I heard. But anyway.
So I'm fascinated by this. Your girlfriend's all of her boyfriend. I mean, does this happen to women? She turns them gay, or they were gay? Like, why would gay men be attracted to your girlfriend? I'm very interested in this.
One of them... I think we decided that he was really trying. He was trying to fit in. He didn't want originally to come out, and so he played the boyfriend girlfriend game, just to fit in his high school. And then after he moved away, I guess he decided to drop the facade and just come out and show himself as he really was.
Wow.
I mean, this didn't impress her too much. She felt cheated almost. Used, perhaps.
Mm. This was in high school that this happened?
This was in high school, so this would have been for her about 4 years ago now, maybe 5 years ago.
Well, what happened to number two?
What happened to number two? Number two didn't last very long anyway, so I don't think there was the same kind of feeling of betrayal.
So what's this betrayal thing all about? I mean, as a practicing homosexual...
Can you say that on radio?
The phone's ringing offline now.
I tried to be very close, but they were my friends. They were people I was really close to. I loved my little girlfriends, even though not in that, not in the way they needed. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be betrayal. It can be, you know, you're my friend, and we really get along, and we love each other, and this is what society expects us to do. So it's not a big deal. So what, like, do you really feel betrayed? Do you, as a woman, Sparkle Kitten, would you feel betrayed if one of your boyfriends turned up gay?
Well, I've never had a boyfriend turn up gay. I've had some turn up bi, but I've always tended to encourage that, so I certainly haven't felt betrayed.
Well, we have the opposite end of the spectrum here.
I was going to say, Dr. Jordanovich, who's taking a perhaps semester of leave to study the pygmies and their sexual habits on WRCT's fantastic and it's seemingly endless Loveline budget. She has actually, every man that she's ever been with has ended up either having been bisexual before her or currently bisexual. And it's funny, actually, a recent friend of mine kind of referred to her as the litmus test for gay men, which I think is actually fairly accurate because it seems like she possesses a lot of qualities that I think gay men like in men. But she embodies them in a woman. Again, we should make the distinction between gay and bisexual, but I think a lot of women who maybe end up having this happen to them, I think probably don't realize how many traits that they just themselves possess that gay men or bisexual men find stereotypically attractive, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going off. But
so that's the litmus test in that if a man isn't attracted to her, then he must truly be gay?
No, he's actually, chances are he's straight. If he has absolutely no attraction to her whatsoever, he's probably purely straight. But it's a fascinating statistic. I mean, there's like four or five men. Like we were all together in the same room once, so it was quite funny. Made her feel real uncomfortable.
She was there too, or
yeah.
Huh. Wow.
There was also a woman she had been with too, so it was a.
We
were having great fun, but anyway, we don't want to get off the subject here. But I think it's not something that women, I think, who find this happening to them should feel betrayed. I think they should just kind of realize their own potential, their own power to attract this type.
That makes so little sense. I do not understand.
You don't?
No, I mean, no, it's a very tragic thing to be a woman who attracts only those people who cannot.
Well, it depends. I mean, you can attract them. Is it a matter of can you keep them? I mean, bisexual, if you're, quote, truly bisexual, which I'm not really sure. I mean, I think, you know, there's few people who are truly anything. I think you can. well, I kind of, I mean, there's always a wash. And I mean, even people who are bisexual, I think that, you know, sometimes there's more of a preference for one thing or maybe another. And, you know, obviously you have some people who maybe can draw a perfect line and say, like, it doesn't really, really doesn't matter to me who I'm with. But I think a lot of women can keep these women.
Corey's laughing at me.
I'm laughing because it's taking so long to
achieve
the point. Whatever it is.
I'm meandering. I think really often, I think attracting them is one thing, keeping them is another. I think you can. A woman can keep a bisexual.
I don't think she even wanted them.
Well, yeah.
I
mean, well, maybe
see, the betrayal comes in because she. If she shares the same point of view that I do, then the whole idea of caring and loving includes this kind of idea that at some point physical intimacy would also be involved, and someone who's not attracted to her sexually can't really
give her
that
the big
to
tamale.
Her.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, if
it won't
this
happen,
person,
and so she, you know,
if this person was truly kind of using her just as a well, I'm not going to confront my gayness right now, but I really want to, you know, go to the prom.
Like,
I really want to go to the prom with a woman. So
yeah,
I guess
high school is so oppressive. You have to do that in high school. Right?
That's true.
I mean, in my day it was.
Huh.
It's,
yeah, mom,
still that way. It's still that way, I think. I mean, her case seems to suggest it's still that way.
Yeah.
So Tristan, you met this girlfriend of yours in college? No,
post college. I finished my master's at this point, and I was just working.
So your part of your philosophy, if I understand it, is that sex should follow a certain amount of intimacy, rather than the other way around, and that you wouldn't really care to sleep with someone that you weren't emotionally connected to.
That's right. It could be perhaps an artifact of my upbringing or just something I've developed over time, but I feel I can't comfortably really give myself to someone else physically unless I also feel that there's an emotional tie.
Hmm. Well, what about your upbringing do you think would have an influence on that?
I have a certainly a very, very conservative set of parents, I used to, actually until relatively recently, I used to believe that sex was something you kept within marriage, but I changed my mind on that.
Aha, so you're not married and you're having sex?
No, that's right. I'm not
aha! Living.
Oh, sorry.
In sin.
So you are sexually active with this person?
Yes.
Interesting.
Woman. Divas.
And is the sex better? Was saving it until you were emotionally and morally bonded to her a good thing?
I think.
Have you had cheap sex?
Have I had? Well, no, I haven't. So this is.
Does it my question was, you had mentioned that you felt like you couldn't give. Or have you ever been in a position where you had the chance to and backed away from it?
I've been in situations where someone was obviously attracted to me, and the consensus of most people around me was that if I'd allowed things to continue, we would eventually have started having sex together. But
were you attracted to him, her?
Her? No, yeah. I wasn't attracted to this other person.
That's not really a fair example, right? Because you had no desire.
Well, this is it. If I have no emotional desire for this person,
yes, then exactly. That's the hidden agenda of your question, DJ sir. You feel he could have desire without having.
So you're actually incapable of having desire without emotional attachment. Like,
could you be attracted to a woman without knowing her?
Captain Janeway, for example, very attractive woman on Star Trek Voyager.
Strong, competent,
no feelings for
talking to someone who doesn't watch Star Trek.
Doesn't get out.
Have there been women you've known that you've been very attracted to that you haven't gotten close to?
That's a good question, actually. I think most of the women I've been attracted to, I've actually made some effort to try to get closer to them first, but they usually haven't worked out.
But you've been attracted first, or you've gotten closer first?
That's the crux. Have you been attracted without being close to them?
Okay, I see.
Have you had a crush from afar?
Not
Come on, you're lying!
I was about to say not really, but I guess, yeah, I probably am lying. Once I got to college, I think I was usually a little more forthright about approaching people and saying, you know, would you like to, you know, get together and do something, you know, go out on a date or whatever. But it was always, there was always that first step. I never really, there was always this idea that I would try to establish some emotional contact first before moving on to anything physical.
But did you feel the chemistry before that? Or did you feel the, chemistry is the wrong word, the attraction before that? You wanted to pursue it towards that end.
Yes.
And then you put it as an intermediate step before the physical because you felt it was your way of doing things was to establish the emotional bond.
Yes.
I'm going to hold you on that question for a moment because we have a caller. One of our fabulous listeners seems to be calling. Is the caller on the air?
Hello, caller.
We seem to be having some terrible technical difficulty.
It seems to be some kind of tone-based life form.
Caller?
Attach the universal translator.
Ow. Ooh, we're hurting our caller. Hello?
Ooh. This is very painful.
Well,
I guess we'll just continue to talk until this technical problem is resolved. You were about to answer.
So, yes, the answer is, I was attracted to people, but I would always, I would either force myself or naturally just have this step of trying to get to know somebody better first, beforehand.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes sense. So, so if you did feel as attracted to someone, you would try to pursue them in a kind of get to know them better type of way, and but you never made that connection with anybody besides the person that you're going with.
Yes, it never really worked out. I could speculate forever on what the reasons are why they didn't work out.
All right, I'm just going to interrupt you again. The warp engine seems to be back online. The caller is on the air, I think. Hello, caller. Oh, this is so humiliating.
I'm being tantalized by the phantom tone.
Cross circuit to B.
This never happened on Zoo TV.
Yes. Hello, caller.
Well, we think you're on the air.
Can you hear us now, caller?
Is there no one out there?
Hello?
Just keep talking.
I'm so frightened and alone. Help me.
I think the caller isn't hearing us.
I'm on the edge. I can't hear anyone. Stop making those noises at me. You're doing this just to hurt me, aren't you? I can tell you. Whoa. Ow. You're doing this just to hurt me. All right.
This is an audio BDSM.
I'm going to try one more time, and then I'm just going to say how much I really liked the lesbian show, and you should have another one. But let me call back. Ow. Bye.
Bye, caller. Oh, wow. Tragedy.
Interesting.
Actually, well, I have a question. So you had mentioned that you think some of this may be coming from your background with your family, kind of having had very monogamous role models, and also role models very based in, I mean, we're maybe just not kind of overtly sexual parents, you know, people who are not kind of, you know, flaunting sexuality and promiscuity out mm-hmm. in the open. Is there any religious connection
yes.
to this as well?
I was brought up as a fairly strict Catholic, I guess.
Okay.
It's interesting that you mentioned the idea that my role models didn't overtly flaunt their sexuality, because if anything, I'm almost uncomfortable with the idea that my parents have a sexual identity. Mm-hmm. I think
it's pretty common.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I was brought by the stork. I don't care what anybody else. I was brought by the stork.
Does your girlfriend have a similar religious background?
She is Methodist, but doesn't really.
Wait, I think our signals are telling us that the caller may be there.
My God!
Hello.
Who is this?
I hope you enjoyed our
human voices.
I hope you enjoyed our previous pain pulsing. That was just a usual Loveline entree to the world of bondage and discipline, and everybody must go through it before they can become a sanctioned caller on the radio.
And you are a dedicated and loyal caller.
Uh-huh. I feel dedicated and loyal. It sent shivers through my body.
So, caller, what's your name, please?
Can you just call me Carl?
Sure.
Yes, Carl. And where do you hail from, Carl?
Well, I'm out of town right now. Usually I'm in Pittsburgh, but I'm calling to see if I'm missing anything good on the show.
Well, if you were an internet listener, you know, you could.
I only have a 14.4 modem, so I'm sort of technologically retarded.
Yeah, that'll definitely cut the quality.
In a lot of ways, it sucks to be me.
Mm. So where are you calling from?
Right now, I'm in Duluth, Montana.
Wow. I'm checking the... Well, anyway. So you like the lesbian...
You're lying. What? I love the lesbian show. I think it's important that people, you know, have an understanding that all lesbians are not, you know, bitter and grim. Because I think that's a bad stereotype that's being projected.
Do you have any fantasies of being with a lesbian?
I have fantasies of being lesbian, but I don't want to air those here. I feel that would be inappropriate. That
sounds like a novel.
But you wouldn't be a bitter, grim lesbian. You'd be a light, playful lesbian.
I would be, exactly. I would set an example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, I think that's an ugly stereotype and not true at all.
You'd be more like Ellen, or that woman.
Ellen. She's just so funny.
You would make a great lesbian, I think.
Thank you.
I can see the potential growing already.
Did you know how to, so what am I missing on the show?
Well, we're talking about traditional romance and...
In what context?
Well, the context of relationships and heterosexuality.
No sex until you really love them.
Oh, man, that...
Kinky.
Oh, dear.
That could take your whole life. And then once you love them, you know, you'd be bad at sex.
Wait a minute. That's an interesting statement. What does that mean?
Well, you know, you'd let them down. You'd say, hi, you've the person I've waited all my life for. I'm sorry I can't do better for you.
Saying like
because you didn't have any practice?
Yeah.
Maybe
well, if they really care
books.
About you, then they should, you know, they should hopefully forgive you for the first couple of attempts, and you could get better at it.
Well, also have plenty of time to plan.
You know, you'd be starting late in the game. What if they'd found someone they'd loved, and they'd loved with that person, and they'd loved for a lot of years, and then loved, you know, died, and so you're trying to pick up that slack, and you're just, it's sad by the whole scenario.
So you're saying, like, if you had been waiting, but your partner hadn't,
yeah.
Suddenly there's a, is that the case in your current relationship?
No,
but it's one of my fears.
Oh, actually, I was asking our in-studio guests, although...
Oh, I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn.
It's totally fine.
No, actually, I was not her first, but she wasn't wildly impressed with her previous...
Is she wildly impressed with you?
She seems to be.
Excellent. How about the caller? Is your mate wildly impressed with you?
My last mate was... moderately impressed. Wild sort of didn't enter into the equation, and that's why we went our separate ways.
See, if you were a lesbian, mm-hmm. Things would be different.
Oh, my God, would they be different. Well, I can only speculate. I mean, it's not for me to even presume to know what it's like to be a woman, much less a woman who loves another woman, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm there. I'm so there.
What's next week?
Polyamorous bisexuals.
What?
Female polyamorous bisexuals. You should like it.
Wow. Is that a new form of transportation?
It's actually, it's new Adobe software.
Very fuel efficient.
Oh, is that one of Kai's power tools?
Yeah.
So Carl.
Yes.
Focus for a minute.
I'm sorry.
When you've made love to women, don't you feel that there's a certain amount of performance pressure that is, you know... They want you to satisfy them sexually and be powerfully?
That's certainly the stereotype going in. Now, I firmly believe that if you love and are committed to someone, well, maybe commitment isn't necessary, but if you have reached a certain level of understanding, then those little things slip away, and what's left is just, you know, raw humiliation. But you know what I mean?
So good. I'm not sure I understood.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Well, our in-studio guest didn't understand what you meant by that.
Oh, by humiliation, I meant pure love and respect. I misspoke. I have to go. I have call waiting.
Oh. See how important we are.
But it's a great show. Keep it up.
Well, thanks so much for calling, caller.
Anytime.
If you're ever back in the Pittsburgh area, please stop by the studio.
Oh, I'd be too embarrassed to do that. But thanks for the offer. Bye.
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 So long.
I wanted to get back to something I mentioned before.
Before you do, for those of our listeners who don't know, we're available at 268-WRCT and also 621-WRCT.
The question I had asked our guest was about religion and how it had played a role. Now, already you've admitted, though, that you've broken one of the many cardinal rules of Catholicism in premarital sex.
Mm.
How do you respond to that, or why do you justify that in terms of perhaps...
Why do I justify that? I thought about it, and I could no longer see... I could not think of a good reason for waiting any longer.
Do you see this person as the person you will end up marrying?
I don't know yet. We haven't really talked about it, and it's something that we would both need to. I mean, marriage is something that we both have to be in, so we would both need to sit down and really talk about. This is right now a long distance relationship, which is in some ways a big step for me already, because I up until meeting her, I'd long been an opponent, of the idea of a workable long distance relationship, and so I'm happily surprised that it has worked out for me, but I have seen lots of people for whom it hasn't worked out.
Mm. How long has this been a long distance relationship?
Well, this is the thing. It's only been about a month now, but it's easier in that we have a sort of closed timeline. I mean, she's hoping to move down to Pittsburgh, and in the middle of the next year, and so then we would be back together again.
This is positive. I guess one of the reasons I bring this up is because I have a close friend who I had a very similar religious background, mm-hmm. who ended up also meeting somebody and actually having had many sexual experiences before with other people, had never let it get so far as to what we refer to as conventional sex, you know, full-blown, fourth base, mm-hmm. Penile and sertile sex, and found a woman that he was very comfortable with and really believed that this was going to be the one, and was actually therefore willing to kind of break the convention of, well, no.
Hit a home run.
Exactly. And kind of go forth and say, okay, well, I think this is the person, and I'm pretty sure, actually, I know this is the person that I want to marry and that I want to spend the rest of my life with, so does it really matter that, you know, we're not actually waiting for the official date? And this ended up kind of becoming somewhat tragic, because then the relationship didn't end up working out, and it caused a lot of problems, and it still is certainly weighs
I guess
heavy
that's
on
why
this
you
person's.
Wait.
It weighs heavy on this person. So, well, either you wait or you find it a way to deal with that aspect of at least the religious part of it, and in terms of being able to, you know, I guess I'm curious as to how one goes about justifying it in your head, if this is something you really believe in. I mean, I'm certainly not one to criticize that belief, but I think it sounds like you are saying more, it's not so much the religion that's driving it, it's just the need for previous intimacy and emotional attachment before kind of running forward into the
right,
into the glorious day of
sex. And it seems that, I don't know, for myself, it seems that once you've decided to really start, I mean, you talk about getting to fourth base, mm-hmm. you know, having sex with the person. It seems that if you're willing to go almost that far but not any further, you're really, if you truly believe that sex before marriage is a bad thing, you're really, I feel that you're cheating if you do everything but.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that you're being true to the letter but not the spirit. Of that belief,
right.
And so
spirit being very important in that canon
kind
of law.
Yeah. I don't consider myself particularly devout, but I do still consider myself to hold to some of the tenets of my religion, just not right. that particular one.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You've said you want to achieve a certain amount of intimacy before you have sex. Now, to use this baseball metaphor, first base, second base, third base, fourth base, or home plate, as it's also known, mm-hmm. do you have a requirement to achieve each base, or are you the kind of person where once you achieve a certain minimum emotional intimacy, you can go an in the park home run all the way at once? In other words, is there a certain emotional component for first, then for second, then for third, or is it all or nothing?
I think it's really, well, the way I'll answer that in two parts. The first is that I found that where I've rushed to try to even get to first base, and even if I've gotten there, it usually, I've usually rushed things and a barely even started relationship sputters and dies. And that's happened to me maybe twice, I guess. In my current relationship, we did, there was this kind of build up to things. I think there's a time, at least for myself and for my girlfriend, there was a time where we had to spend getting comfortable with each other physically, before before we decided to go and have sex with each other. It wasn't hand-holding until that magical moment when we decided, okay, we're going to go all the way. There was a sort of gradual build-up in physical intimacy.
Okay. So what does that mean, becoming comfortable with each other? Is this like breast massage? I mean, are we talking about various kinds of...
I guess we're talking about various kinds of sexual activity. I mean, for... for about, if you take the time from when we started, when we were official, if you like, to when we actually started having sex, there was about halfway through that period, it was just, if you want details, you know.
Oh, yeah.
How long
you want
was that
details.
Period?
How long was that period? About, yeah, it's like the waiting period for buying a handgun, right? It was
about 5 days.
It was about maybe 2 months, 2.5 months. We had originally, physical separation for a summer, we had been planning on waiting for about three, but about two-thirds of the way through, we just caved in. Up until the first month or so, it was just, you know, touching, kissing. Then
frottage?
Not really. Then after that, we started moving on to oral sex, mutual masturbation, perhaps. And then two months in, we just decided to go the whole way.
So during that whole time, were you both completely agreed on waiting, or were there episodes where one person was sort of begging and the other person was going, no, no, we can't?
Well, I remember bringing it, I brought it up first, and I remember asking a really odd way. I asked, so should we be having sex at this point? And this was about a month in. I was confused. This, I guess, sort of blossomed into what at least I like to refer to in relationships as the talk, mm-hmm. when you really decide whether you're really going out with each other or not. And that was kind of, we decided not to, but I mean, that in itself was kind of an important milestone that we could talk about whether or not to have sex and not be completely scared off of each other as a result of that conversation. And it was at that point that we originally agreed to wait for some number of months, but it didn't quite work out that way.
So what were the reasons that you agreed on for not doing it at that time?
Well, at this point she was out of town for this was during the summer of 1996, and from May until August she was away from Ithaca, which is where I was living at the time, and she was only coming up to see me about once a week, because she didn't have her driver's license, she was actually being brought up by her mother, who would drive her into town and then disappear for 4 hours and do whatever it is that mothers do while they're waiting.
She probably has some kind of Ithaca gigolo that she was seeing.
Could be. I never thought of that. That could be it.
Suggest history, man.
Girlfriend. Oh, that could be a whole other show right there.
So the whole scenario of like being dropped off by mom for a quickie wasn't really cutting it for her.
That didn't really appeal to her, and she was kind of nervous about. I guess she was nervous about being busted.
The mussed up hair, the shirt inside out, all the telltale signs.
All the signs. And actually, when we did finally have sex, I tried to talk her into taking a shower with me afterwards, and she said, no, that would be really obvious. I come here with curled up hair and I leave with straight hair. I think someone would notice. We still tried to remain, I guess, as discreet as possible, but...
So here's another great question. Speaking of, while we're going to talk about parents, do either of your parents know what has happened?
Okay.
What has happened?
My parents don't know, and...
Do they listen to the radio?
Not this one.
Interesting.
They could listen to the net.
They could. Ooh, hadn't thought of that. In fact, my mother has gone a long way towards. I've had one or two conversations. My mother even gets uncomfortable with the idea that I might be staying in my girlfriend's apartment. There was a brief period before I moved down to Pittsburgh where I was camped out in my girlfriend's apartment because I was stuck between leases. And I just went ahead and told my parents that I was staying there, and my mother was a little upset with this. She was concerned more with the possible damage to my girlfriend's reputation and my own. Mm-hmm. Although
you had sufficiently trashed that up to that point.
That's right. Well, no. I mean, the simple truth is that my friends didn't care. I mean, most of my friends, all of my friends know. Mm-hmm. And I guess my mother's concern was what the neighbors think, and as far as I could tell, the neighbors were shacking up as well. Mm-hmm. And so,
do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. I have a brother.
Younger, older?
Younger.
And so you have to be the groundbreaker.
Well, we've never actually really talked about whether I'm having sex with my girlfriend. And he actually was friends with my girlfriend before I knew her.
Good friends?
Close friends, not that kind of good friend.
Well, you said that your girlfriend wasn't a virgin when you had sex with her.
Yes.
Do you think that she'd accessed some other members of the Tristan family?
No, I don't think she did.
Interesting.
That would certainly be a long, interesting conversation.
That would be another show.
Exactly. No, she... Actually, my brother was in... she was seeing somebody who was in the same fraternity as my brother. And...
did they also have a group shower?
I've never seen their shower there.
You guys didn't have mixers or anything?
No, we didn't.
The shower mixers?
God, that's
a whole night of literature right there.
Different fraternity.
I think that the fact that she basically had this really ugly breakup with her boyfriend, and this put my brother on the restricted list. Effectively, because she didn't feel that she could date anybody in that fraternity again without causing internal friction. Mm-hmm. And so whether he was in the running in the first place is something I'm not too sure about.
Fraternity traditions are so complicated.
Well, it's less to do with being in a fraternity and more a social dynamic. It would be like, I live in a group house right now, and it would be the same situation if she broke up with me and then proceeded to date one of my housemates.
I know who you live with. Those people are pretty kinky.
they go for it.
That would be encouraged. I wanted to go back to something you said earlier, and that is, you said you were waiting, you were saving yourself for the big fourth base, but you're doing all this other stuff. This is one of my pet peeves. You know, you're having oral sex, you're having mutual masturbations. Like, why is that mutual masturbation singular? And so why is the penetration thing such a holy grail for you people? I think it's ridiculous. You're already like...
When you say you people, are you referring to heterosexual?
You, I mean, come on, you're already having orgasms with each other. You're totally like...
If you mean heterosexuals, then it could be because it can cause pregnancy.
Well, indeed, was that it? Is that... there are precautions and so on against pregnancy, but why...
But none of them are perfect.
And so you feel like... You have to have this big talk, and you have to be all emotionally committed before you do that, whereas blowjobs are fine?
Well, I mean, the big talk preceded a lot of the...
orgasms?
A lot of the orgasms, I guess. Yes, actually, they did. The big talk preceded a lot of the... preceded all of the oral sex and all of the mutual masturbation, everything else. So I guess that... As far as there's also the concern that neither of us at this point had an AIDS test,
and but you were a virgin.
Yes, I felt for some reason that I had to have one anyway. I guess I don't know
togetherness.
Why.
He was only a female virgin.
No.
Interesting.
I would, I don't know. My response to that is Corey's question in terms of. that element is, and I mean, I know I waited, I mean, I was sexually active from 16 on, but waited till 21 to actually get to fourth, even though, you know, I was about 3 or 4 inches away from that plate, and it really was a real there really was this problem. No, I'm not going to go there. There really is an added issue of, I mean, I think pregnancy is a big thing, and also there are another host of diseases and other things, and I mean, which is not to say that, you know, mutual masturbation and other forms of fellatio and etc. cannot cause these things and cannot lead to these things, but it is putting yourself at a higher risk to engage in specific behavior, and it's not, and for me at least, I mean, losing my virginity was like, well, big deal, you know, I mean, I enjoyed the other elements just as much as this. I mean, I wasn't waiting for any specific reason. It was more just like, well, why bother taking that extra step when we can have just as much fun this way? And I think oftentimes, like, people are like, well, just go for it, just go for it. It's like, well, you know, why are you then falling into that category of pressure? Like, sure, it doesn't mean much, but if you're saying it doesn't mean much, then why do you seem so insistent that I should do it? So I think, I don't know, I sort of have respect for people who want to wait for whatever reason, just because it's like, it's your life. I mean, do what you want.
Well, the AIDS test also comes up, because we did want to move away from using condoms, and for whatever reason, I mean, we both decided to get ourselves tested.
Is she on birth control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You were using condoms even before penetration?
No. I guess we quietly accepted the lower risk.
Wait, so you're using condoms, but this, I'm just confused with the linearity of this issue. So after you started having penetrative vaginal intercourse...
After we started having sex, we were using condoms.
To be more precise, because you were having oral sex.
You were using condoms at that point you went to non-condom.
Then we went to, yeah.
The non-condom variety.
The AIDS test came up all negative.
Yeah.
Well, we're not making any assumptions.
No, they...
Yes, I am.
I'm assuming crazy. Sorry. Absolutely no comment.
Okay, great. So then you started having, like, doing the total maximum nasty thing. So you've crossed the final barrier, and so you're done, right?
What next?
Challenged by, you know, bondage, polyamory, sex with animals, primates, perhaps.
Necrophilia, carparophilia.
You're asking what's the next step? Where do you go from here? You've crossed the line.
You've already achieved all the intimacy you can.
Yeah.
And you've already hit fourth base. Like barrier.
Let's talk about fifth base. That's really what we're getting at.
What is fifth base?
What is fifth
for you, Tristan?
Right. Where to become even more intimate? What will you do to express it?
That's a good question.
After all, investing all this emotional currency in another person, you don't want to throw it all away just because sex has become tiresome.
You got to get the payoff.
And believe me, it will become tiresome.
Arduous task.
I don't know where we would go from here. I mean, there is this issue right now where we're separated, so when we see each other and we're actually physically together, I mean, it's such a... I don't know if
release.
Like, yes, that's it's a big release when it will be a big release when we're together. And so, you know, we're together again physically as well as emotionally, and it's, you know, it's a great.
How often do the little love bunnies see each other now that you're up front?
Probably about once a month. We've already planned. We're set for later this month, and then again in October. Probably about once a month for the next year.
Do you guys meet at hotels or
Breezewood, man?
Airport lounges. That's right. Cheap wayside motels. No.
He's too sensitive for that.
I'll be going up to visit, and she'll be coming down here to visit me.
It is interesting, though. I mean, Corey, your point about it becoming arduous. I mean, there certainly is a level, I think, of, you know, obviously you do become accustomed, you know, same partner, same type of, you know, order.
Repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. you know, venue, etc. But I think people who sometimes there is a danger to kind of over kinkify your relationship, to kind of put, as actually Jordan referred to this fine evening, as kind of like icing on an otherwise dull cake. You know, if something is really inherently, well, kind of, okay, well, it's sex and it's okay, you know, but, you know, as soon as we bring in the poodles and the trapeze and, you know, the Crisco and all these other things, suddenly it's this amazing, you know, euphoric, whatever. And it's like, well, this is fine. But I think oftentimes there really are people who are so well matched and very well matched physically and emotionally that it doesn't become this kind of horrible, ugh, we got to go have sex type thing.
If I could just pick up on that point, I mean, there is this other thing which is at least very, which I find very important to me, and it's very important, I think, very important to her, in that when we have sex, it's not just, you know, body slapping and then I roll over and go to sleep. It isn't that kind of thing. I mean, we get, you know, there's this period where we, you know, it sounds corny, but, you know, we actually do, you know, lie together and talk for a while and, you know, share feelings, or even
before or after.
Before and after.
Interesting.
You know, that, so that, I think that is why, at least now, that is why it hasn't sort of become this, oh no, I've got to have sex with her again kind of. It hasn't become a chore like taking out the garbage or something. It's still something that's exciting and I can look for.
Disturbingly sensitive in kind of an oppressive way. Are you like the only?
Well, I think to clear things up, I mean, to talk about the opposite end of the spectrums, can you please explain your impressions after having sex? Yes, you.
Your modus operandi.
I think Corey.
We've heard it on previous shows, but it's just really too shocking to only contain within one show. Well,
I think I'm possibly the only honest man here, because I think that after sex, there's a necessary period of resentment and
disgust.
And disgust. I think that was the word.
Revulsion, maybe. I mean, it's just like, especially if you're being kinky, it's just like, you know, what have you been inserting in me? And, you know, like,
maybe
what,
that's the problem,
what have we been doing? Maybe I'm not doing enough cuddling. It's true.
You need to.
How long does this period last?
You know, 15 minutes or so.
Wow.
That's just, Corey just is not the cuddling type.
Are you learning to savor that feeling?
Well, I do. I'm trying to lengthen that period. Special Arab Middle Eastern exercises.
myself.
But I mean, is there, I mean, so you're saying it's not, you know, this just, we join, we do something, we, you know, separate. It's not like mating of butterflies, but I mean, maybe butterflies have more kink, but is there any kind of role playing or anything non-traditional about your sex, or are you just, you know, very intimate in terms of sharing your feelings, like your emotional and physical feelings at the time when it's occurring? Or are there other things, you know, like you dress up like a postman or something like that?
I guess on this show I hate to take the tone down, but no, there isn't really anything wildly different outside of, I guess, quote, conventional sex, unquote. Mm-hmm. Except that
there might be more talking, more sharing.
So you say you do this sharing of feelings before and after. Does the sex facilitate that, or could it happen otherwise? Is it better because of the sex?
I think it's
Good,
I mean,
question, Bono.
It's okay. I mean, it's not as if every single time we have sex we have this sort of long conversation that builds up to it and then.
An emotional
climax. Now we're okay. Now we're all emotionally charged up. The batteries are ready. We can now go and have sex. It's not quite. It isn't always like that. I mean, there's sometimes when you know, just spontaneously, you know, come home, wake up, or whatever, and suddenly
you rip each other's clothes off, and then afterwards you say, "So, how was your day?"
Not quite like that, but yeah, I mean, it isn't just okay. Pull our clothing on. Let's go back to whatever we were doing beforehand.
But it's definitely not always this 2-hour long Gone with the Wind.
No,
romantic
drama. It isn't like that all the time, but I think it's important that it is like that some of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I think there is this risk that it just does become this sort of arduous thing that you do because it's what people nowadays do when they're together.
Okay, I have to interrupt. Tragically, we are out of time. The next DJ has to come on the air. I want to thank our fabulous guest, Tristan, our fabulous co-host, Sparkle Kitten, of course, Bono. We're always pleased to have you. Thank you all for coming on. And everybody say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.